we realize. And over the years, we have either written them off as nothing more than folklore, or we actually accept them as true and then call them beliefs, not superstitions. As children, we rarely demand any sort of evidence for anything we're told. Like sponges, we simply soak everything up. For example, I remember teachers telling me that if anyone were to step over me while I sat on the floor, it would forever stunt my growth. Unless, of course, they immediately stepped back the way they came. This superstition was the teacher's seemingly innocent effort to prevent anyone from tripping over the students who sat in the hallways with their legs stretched out. But I still question their methods of preying on our vulnerability and gullibility. We not only obediently sat with our legs crossed after that, but we also fervently warned all the other students of the terrible fate awaiting them if they weren't careful to do the same. The concept of scaring people into compliance is nothing new, of course. It's biblical. But scare tactics greatly underestimate our reasoning intelligence. As Albert Einstein surmised, if people are only good because they fear punishment or hope for reward, then we are a sorry lot indeed. And so we get older, but the superstitions don't stop. A four-leaf clover is a sign of good luck, just like a rabbit's foot or a horseshoe, but heaven forbid we open an umbrella indoors or walk under a ladder, right? If you hear ringing in your left ear, it's apparently because someone is speaking ill of you, whereas the opposite is true with the right. And if your palm itches, it's